Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Hashalom. We're now on Masechet Sukkah, Daf Tet Amud Bet. About to take a look at the second Mishnah in this, the first parak. Ha'oses Sukkato tachat ha'ilan. If you built your Sukkah under a tree, ki'ilu asa'a betoch habayit. As if you made it in the house, meaning that the cover of the tree is blocking the sun from your schach, and therefore your schach is not providing shade, just as if you were to make it in a house. Sukkah al gabei sukkah. Let's say you built a sukkah on top of a sukkah. Hal yonak she'ra v'tachtona psula. So the upper one is fine because that schach is providing shade. The lower one is not because the schach of the lower one is not providing any shade because the upper one is already shading it. He makes an interesting point and says that if there are no residents in the upper sukkah, then the bottom one is kasher. We have to see what he means. Okay. In the first line where we say if you made a sukkah under a tree, it's invalid, Rava says that's only if the tree itself provides more shade than sun. But if there's more sun than shade as a result of the tree, meaning the branches are sparse, then kshera, because again, the schach of the sukkah is the one that is making the difference and now creating more shade than sun. Hamimai, v'nitani kilu asa b'toch habayit. How did Rava know that? Because the Mishnah didn't even invalidate it, it just said it's alike making it in the house. Lama l'mitni kilu asa b'toch habayit, l'ini psula. It should have just said it's pasul. Halakamash lan dilan du mirabayit, meaning that it's a tree, only if it's like a house. Just like when you're in a house, you have more shade than sun. In fact, you have no sun unless you have a skylight or something. Similarly, a tree has to be like a house in that it provides all shade. Now, how does it help if the tree still allows more sun? How come it starts schach pasul, pahadi schach kasher? So you've got schach pasul, which is the branches of the tree, joining the schach kasher under it in your sukkah, and therefore you don't have a proper sukkah. Amar Rav Papa b'shachavatan. He said he's talking about a case where you swung the branches of the tree low so they mix in with the schach. And as Rashi points out, the really midoraita, if you have a rove of schach kasher, it's mevatel the schach pasul. And now that that they're intermingled and aren't even seen as separate, therefore there's no reason to disallow. So ibishah chavatan mylamemra. So the Gemara's challenge to a papa is then it should be obvious that it's valid. So maunatem and nigzor echad chavatan to echad lo chavatan. Perhaps we should make a gzera of a case where you knocked the branches down and lowered them to be mixing within the schach, as a precaution, against the case where you didn't do that. Kamashmalan de lo gazrin, so it teaches us that we don't make such a gzera, and that's what Rav is teaching. Now, ha nami tanina, hila aleha et hagefen vet hadalat vet hakisus sichecha gaman psula. So we have a brayta that teaches us that if you lowered a vine or a gourd tree or some other vegetation and covered up the sukkah, it's pasul. But if there were proper schach, more than those things, or you disconnected them, sheirat. Now disconnected them is obvious because then they're valid schach. Disconnected from the ground, meaning. So hechidami, what's the case? If we're talking about a case where the vine or the gourd bush is still higher than the schach, how come it starts schach pasul, schach kasher? Then it's invalid. As we said, alav shachavatan must be a case where you lower them. Ushvaminad lo gazvin. And you see from there that we don't make such a gzerah. And as long as there's a majority of proper schach, it's valid. So therefore, what do we need? That Mishnah? What do we need Rav Papa to tell us that? So ma'udatayim ahani mili b'diavad. I might think that Mishnah is only teaching us, and indeed the wording only indicates b'diavad, it's valid. Aval l'chatchila lo, l'chatchila, may not make a sukkah that way. Kamash palan, that l'chatchila you may do it, and that's what Rav Papa is indicating from our Mishnah, via Rava. Now, sukkah goes sukkah. The second half of Mishnah talks about a sukkah on top of a sukkah. Tan Rabbanan. Basukot teshvu, shivat yamim. Meaning you have to live in the sukkah. V'lo b'sukkah t'ashtachat sukkah, v'lo b'sukkah t'ashtachat ilah, v'lo b'sukkah t'ashtachat habayit. Meaning that you have to be living in a sukkah, And the idea is that it's written Basukot, as we'll see in a moment, without a vav. And, therefore we say there's only a singular sukkah that you could live in. Meaning you can't live in a sukkah which has another sukkah over it, or a sukkah that has a tree over it, or a sukkah in a house, which is interesting because this practice seems to be taking a different approach to the invalidity of a sukkah underneath something else, not because of the shade issue, but because it's like multiple sukkot. So, adrabba, sukkot tarte mashma. The Torah says bas sukkot, which is plural. Sounds like you could have multiple sukkot. It's written without a vav. And we've already seen that in the Machloket Rabbi Shimon HaChachamim about Eim LeMikra and Eim LeMesorah. But he says, therefore, it should be understood as singular, a single sukkah. Rabbi Yeria, Pamim Shishtein Kshira, Pamim Shishtein Psula, Pamim Shtachtona Kshira, Yenap Psula, Pamim Shtachtona Psula, Yenap Kshira. He says, you could have all four possibilities. You have a sukkah on top of a sukkah. Both could be kasher, both could be pasul. Top one could be pasul and bottom kasher and vice versa. Let's see how that works. Pamim Shishtein Kshira, how could you have both valid? If the bottom one, as it is getting more sun than shade because of the sparse schach on top of the because of the sparse floor of the top one and the way that the sun works. Well, the top one has valid itself, but kaimel yonan betoch esrim, and the entire structure is all within 20, and so therefore the schach that you add to the bottom one now creates more shade in the bottom one also, so they're both kasher. You can have both pasulot. They both start out with more shade than sun, meaning the bottom one can't be valid because it's already got more shade. The upper one is above 20 amot, higher than its floor, and therefore it's invalid for another reason. You can have the bottom one valid and the top one invalid. That the bottom one creates more shade than sun, but the upper one has more sun. So the schach of the bottom one is thick. And the whole thing is within 20. You can have the top one be valid and the bottom one be invalid. They both have more shade than sun. And the top one is within 20. And therefore it's valid. And the bottom one is getting all its shade from the top one. So, pshita. So, and the truth is that Rabbi Yirmiyah says is very obvious. So the answer is, tachtonak shar al yonah psula tzdui chalei. We needed that last statement to say you can have the bottom one kasher. The third statement. The bottom one kasher and the upper one invalid. I might think that in such a case we would invalidate the bottom one because of the schach pasul that's above it, like we had with the branches. That we don't make such a gzeirah, even though here you haven't lowered the schach pasul to mix in with schach kasher. Okay, so now in such a case you've got the base case of our Mishnah. You've got a sukkah on top of a sukkah. Let's just say, for an example, you don't have a sukkah on top of a sukkah, but you've got schach, and a couple inches above it, you have some more schach, and a few inches above that, you have some more schach. How much space defines it as being a separate structure, such that now the schach underneath it is pasul, because above it is already creating more shade? So the question's asked here, how tall must the upper sukkah be to create separation like that? Vuna tefach. One tefach is enough. We find that when it comes to Ohel, the concept of Tumat Meit, one Tefach is the significant shear. Now we have the Mishnah in Ohalot. Tefach al Tefach, Berum Tefach, Meviyata Tumat. If you have a Tefach squared with the height of a Tefach, sort of a cubed space of a Tefach, that's enough to allow Tumat to enter through that entrance. And if you have a area blocked off that size, then it blocks off in the space of the Tumah. If it's not that high, it's significant. So since for Ohalei Tumah, a Tefach is a Shear, for Sukkah also, that's defined now as separate. As for Ravuna, Rav Chisda of Ravuna Amri, Arba'ah. You need four Tefachim. Why? So let's see, Makom Chashuv, Pachut Mi Arba'ah. throughout Hilchot Shabbat, at all mechitzot, a significant area is for tefachim. And therefore, it has to have a space of four tefachim so that you could call it a sukkah, and then it's a sukkah gabe sukkah. Shmuel amar asarah. Shmuel says, no, it has to be 10. So my time it is Shmuel. What's Shmuel's reason for saying you need a height of 10 tefachim to define it as separate? The answer is very simple. Kach shera, kach psula. The validity of the sukkah generates the shear that'll create the psul. Just like to have a valid sukkah, it has to be 10 high. So to be called a separate sukkah, which will invalidate the one under it, it has to be 10 high. Now, Tanan Rebuto, Merimain, Divin Belionah, Tachtonak Sherat. Let's test these three approaches, 1, 4, or 10, against Rabbi Yehuda and our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda said, if there are no residents in the upper sukkah, the lower one is kasher. So, my ain dirin, what does that mean? Ilim adirin mamash, if you think it really means people living up there, atu dirin kagarmi, what people living up there actually makes a difference? It's a structure thing, not a who's up there thing. Allah, my ain dirin kosher reality ra. Ain dirin means, the way we'll interpret it, that it's not fit for residence, meaning it's uninhabitable. Must be less than 10. So that means Tanakama disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is opposing him. And that means that he thinks that even if it's not fit for a dira, meaning less than 10, it's pasul. So that seems to go against Shmuel. So Rav Dimi brought the report from Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, they explained him, if the bottom one cannot hold the pillows and the things that they throw on the floor of the upper one, then the tachtonah is kshera, which means that the floor of the upper one is weak. It doesn't really do anything. So that seems to be a definition of Rabbi Yehuda's diurin. So Tanakama thinks that even if the upper one has a very weak floor, so that you can't put anything there because it'll fall through, it's pasul. So you can be Tanakama will say even if it could take them like a little bit and with a little push they would fall through. And Rabbi Yehuda's position is that as long as it can hold them at all, then it is as long as the upper one could not hold them strongly, then the bottom one would be valid. Okay, the next Mishnah. Prasa les sadin mipnei achama. Let's say you have a sukkah, and it's still very hot, and you put a sheet over it because to protect it from the sun. Or you put a sheet underneath, you stretch it underneath the schach, but right underneath the schach to catch falling leaves from the schach so they don't fall into the food. Or you put some sticks up and you put a sheet from there. It's pasul, because again, you're sitting under the shade of the sheet, not under the shade of the schach. But the bed posts, the way they'd have beds was sort of like hammocks or cots, and they'd pick it up so you could put up the two poles of the bed and put a canopy there over the food. Let's see how this works. He said, when is it invalid? That's only invalid if you put the sheet up to protect it to catch schach to falling so it wouldn't fall in your soup. If you put it there for aesthetic beauty, then it's kasher. That's obvious because the Mishnah said, because of falling leaves. I might have thought that it's true for any reason, even for aesthetic beauty. And the reason it mentioned nesher was just, that's the typical reason you would do it. Kamash Malan, that really is the reason really does define whether it's valid or not. Perhaps we have support from the following. Famous you put proper schach up, and then you decorated it with all sorts of sheets, where they're decorated. And you hung out all sorts of foods and drinks and nuts and everything from your sukkah. You're not allowed to get any benefit from the from any of those things, like taking the fruits or decorations and eat them or drink them until the end of Yom Tov, meaning after Shmini Atzeret is over, because they're all muktzah l'mitzvah. That if you made a tanai, and put them up and said, I'm going to eat these nuts on the third day, or I'm going to drink that wine on the fourth day, then that works. You could set that up in advance. That seems to support the idea that if you put something up underneath the schach, but it was for beauty, it is not a problem for the sukkah. The answer is not necessarily Dilma min atzad. Maybe this is referring to putting things up on the walls, but not under the schach. Okay, itmar noye sukkah in ma'atin basukkah. The adornments of the sukkah do not diminish the shear of the sukkah. So I'm Rashi min atzad ma'atin. But if they're on the side, then they are mima'et. And the simple read of that is that the shiur of height of a sukkah is not minimized by things up in the air, but the shiur of width of seven tfachim or rosh over bo, etc., are minimized by putting in things for beauty. Minyamin avdei Rav Ashi. So Rashi's slave by the name of Minyamin, it v'shilei katunta b'maya v'shtatcha ametalalta. He had his garment got soaked in water, and he put it on top of the sukkah to dry out. Rav Ashi dalyei. Rav Ashi told him, take it off. The lo lemru kamasachim the rama kabel tuma. So people should not think that we are using an invalid thing. A garment is invalid because it's mekabel tuma. And right, hakachazulei deretiva. But everybody sees it's wet, which means everybody understands it's up there to dry out and not a schach. He answers the chiyav shakaminalach. He meant after it dries out, take it off immediately, so people won't think we're being mesachech with the Rav Mekabel Tuma. But that tells you that it's not inherently invalid schach, it's just a concern for how people will misunderstand it. So if it's put up there not to protect, then it seems to be okay. Itmar, noye sukkah, muflaginu an arba'a. If you have aesthetic adornments in the sukkah that are four away from it, rachman arksherav chista ravun amra amri psula. So machloket, whether or not it's valid. When it invalidates. Rav Chista, does it now set up a separate structure, which is now invalidating the sukkah? Rav Chista or Rav Huna, ikal v'erosh koluta. Igninu Rav Nachman b'sukkah shenu yaps umflagim an arba tfachim. So Rav Chista or Rav Huna came to Resh Kaluta's house. Remember, Resh Kaluta's son-in-law was Rav Nachman. And they saw Rav Nachman was sleeping in the sukkah, where the noy was four lower than the schach. Ishtiku v'lomu devilimita. They didn't say anything to him. Amalahu, have you changed your minds and said that such a thing is valid? We are shtuche mitzvah, as we'll see in the second parak. We're exempt from the sukkah, so we could sleep in here. So we think it's still invalid, but it's not a problem. You're allowed to sleep under a canopy in a sukkah, a canopy like over a bed. Even though it has a roof, as long as it's not 10 high, so a low kind of pup tent. We have a braita that says, you're not yotze living in a sukkah if you're inside a kila. Good, that's if it's 10 high. The Mishnah at the beginning of the second parak says, if you sleep under a bed in a sukkah, you're not yotze. So I take on Shmuel, my tag v'asara. So Shmuel says, yeah, that's if it's 10 high. So what the common thread that's bringing this all together is how high above you, or how low from the top of the schach is something that creates a separate structure. So we've defined that if you're on the ground and less than 10 above you is something that covers you, then that's not a separation, that's not a separate structure. And in the same way, less than 4 tefachim down from the top does not create a separate piece, and if you have a bunch of aesthetic things hanging there, that they are not a chotzeitz, sort of, and create a separate a block so that the schach doesn't work. We said in our Mishnah that if you put a sheet up on the poles, it's pasul. Good, that's if it's 10 high. But we do have a right that says differently. How are these beds created? If you have naklitim, that's two. That means they're at both ends of the length. Kinofot are four at all four corners. If you put a canopy on kinofot, it's pasul because it's straight up as a cover. It's kshira because it creates like a sloping, like a pup tent. As long as it's not 10 high. Implying the kinofot, where it's all four sides, even if it isn't 10 high, it's invalid, because the naklitin, which you said were valid, were only if they were less than 10 high. That's different because they're set and fixed. So if you have something fixed in the sukkah, even if it's less than 10 high, and it's there as a cover, then it's invalid. But something that's put up temporarily is not. But remember our case, if you have a sukkah on top of a sukkah, Shmuel said that if the upper one is not 10 high, then the lower one is kasher. And that's a fixed thing. So the answer they gave in the Beit Midrash was, there you're trying to invalidate the lower sukkah, so it's 10. But here, you're trying to define this cover as an OL, even if it's less than 10 high, it's still defined as an OL, which means there are different considerations going into the invalidity of a separate structure on top as invalidating the lower structure, and the block that is created by putting an ohel inside of your sukkah such that you are considered to be residing in the ohel, and that it would be even less than 10, as long as it was a fixed thing like the four bed poles. A related consideration. Let's say you're sleeping under a canopy of a bed and you have nothing on. You could stick your head out of the kilah and say Kriyat Shema. We have a bright that says you can't do that. That's if it's 10 high, which means that you're sticking your head out doesn't help at all, because the kilah is not considered to be like sort of extended bedclothes, if you will. The end of that brayta that did not allow said it's similar to being inside of a house with no clothes on, where you stick your head outside of the window and say Kriyat Shema doesn't help. So Shmami, now we see that we're talking here about a kilah which is 10 high. But think about this, a house, even if it's less than 10 high, a tiny little shed, once it's an established thing, we consider it an ohel. To look our mikinofot, that's no worse than our four bed poles that we said if it's less than 10 high, it should be okay. So leisha achrina amri lam, Rav Yehuda amar Shmuel, tashon mechilat chatanim besukah, v'she'in lagag. We have a statement of Shmuel, it says a canopy of chatanim, like a newlywed bed, that has no roof. It's really like a pup tent. It slopes. Even if it's 10 high, you can sleep in there. And you're still under the sukkah. We have writer that says the kilah is no good. That's talking about if it has a roof, which means it's got a flat part on top before it slopes. The writer that we saw earlier. If it's 10 high, psulav pisha in lagag. Even if there is no gag, and the kilat chatanim is 10 high, shana klitin kvi. Now klitin are also set in the place. So now we have the following. The kinofot, even if they're not 10 high, because there are four of them and it's flat, invalid in the sukkah. Now klitin, if it's 10 high, even though it slopes, since they're fixed in, it's invalid. So ikvi alavi kinofot. Relative to kinofot, they're not considered fixed because they slope. But relative to the kilah, which is really a makeshift thing, kvi, then they're set. So it's all a sliding scale. A kilah seems to be okay in any circumstances. Naklitin, even though it has no roof, since it's fixed in, if it's less than 10 high, it's okay. And the kinofot, because it's flat and fixed, therefore, even less than 10 high is still invalid as an ohel. You're allowed to sleep in a kilah, even though it has a roof, meaning it's flat, even though 10 high. Come on, Rabbi Yehuda. It sounds like Rabbi Yehuda. That sounds like Rabbi Yehuda who said, a temporary OL does not come and block out the fixed OL that you're in. We used to sleep under the beds in the sukkah, in the presence of this kenim, and this kenim said nothing to us. And therefore, that means that this bed, which is an ohel arai, is not mevatel the sukkah. Why didn't you say halachah Rabbi Yehuda? I would have thought that only applies to a bed. It's made for sitting on top, so underneath may not be significant. A kila to the tochasu, yeah, but a kila, which is really made for sleeping under it, emalo, I would not have known that we think that Rabbi Yehuda's leniency extends to that. Kamash falan, tam Rabbi Yehuda, lo atiyah, well, all right, but atal, okay, but lo shtamitah, lo shtakilah. Rabbi Yehuda's reasoning is not because of the purpose of the bed being for on top, and therefore underneath is insignificant, but rather because an ohel arai cannot come and block out the ohel keva of the sukkah, and it doesn't matter whether it's underneath or on top. In any case, it is still a way of fulfilling the mitzvah of yeshivat sukkah. Go pick it up with the next mishnah on Yud Aleph from Yud Aleph. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.